but things happen. Father, and he began to pray, and this is what Jesus prayed. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done and not mine. And this is a constant striving. I don't find this easy. And what it boils down to is the will of God. Are we willing? And it's hard. It's easy to talk about it. It's easy to shout about it. It's hard to live it, to conform your life where you're willing to have the will of God for your life and nothing else. The will of God. The will of God. We can talk about the will of God, and I've found it daily that I have to work at being in the will of God. And if you're not in the will of God, you don't have any right to expect, oh, I'm going to take my shoes off. I'm kind of like the Beverly Hillbillies. Y'all come back now, take your shoes off. And you can do the same if you want to. Verse 43 says, after he said, prayed these words, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. Now, I want you to see something here. Angels help you in prayer if you'll call on God. Angels help you to pray a stronger, more effective prayer. The word says in James chapter 5, the fervent, effectual prayer of a child of God changes things for the better. And he prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. He prayed a fervent prayer. He prayed an accurate prayer, and he just gave himself over to the Lord, because the truth of the matter is our flesh a lot of times, and Jesus was just like us, and he was tempted as we were. And he came every bit the Son of God and every bit a man in this life. And he can be moved by the feelings of our infirmities. He understands what it is to be tempted. And he understands what it is to have to yield his will. He had to be this. He had to be, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. He had to be that. He had something he had to go through. I'm going to tell you, sometimes there's just things that we have to go through. And it's not because you're wrong or you did wrong, but it's because that's just in this world. John 16:33 says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. There's going to be problems that come up. You can't live good enough. You can't give enough money that there won't be problems. But you can certainly avoid problems. And I don't mean to say at all, some of our problems are because of what we did or that we shouldn't have done. And we're reaping what we've sowed, or we've opened the door. The Bible says, give no place for the devil. Make no provision for the flesh. For the devil walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and resist him. And resist that temptation. Resist it with prayer. And you just have to bring yourself to God. I've fashioned our lives, Millie and I. Every morning we pray that prayer. We want your will. We want what you want for our lives. And my grandmother used to tell me, God always gives his best to those who leave the choice to him. And I found that to be true. And you can avoid a lot of things, but you can't avoid everything. Jesus could not avoid the cross. He was the Lamb of God that was to take away the sins of the world. He had to go through that. And he's already reigning. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and positionally, every true child of God is with him on that seat. We're reigning with him together already. We're made in the image of God. We do things the way God does. If you want things done, you got to speak to your mountain. You've got to speak in faith, believing. You've got to tell, stop in the name of Jesus. There was a young lady that was here last week, one of the singers up here. What is her name? Gail, I think. Gail. She told me, Brother Angelo, God answered my prayer last Wednesday night. I said, great. I said, the problem is when God doesn't answer the prayer, why? Why is, you know, I get more concerned if God's not answering prayer. We want him to answer prayer. Nevertheless, here's what it boils down to. It boils down to your will. And your will is strong. And your will has been developed. And many times a person gets saved in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. I got saved at 19, and I'm still dealing with my will. And I have to keep it with God. And there's many reasons for it. And in these opening verses, I studied it out, and it made me think at first that he was in such agony of spirit, and that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. I studied that out a little bit more and looked again, and it came out as blood, and that's physically possible. So what would you do? It takes blood, sweat, and tears to be in the will of God. And I think we have to notice that. And we need to realize, what did God tell me to do? What am I supposed to be doing? That's a very important thing. Next place I want to go to is John chapter 7 and verse 17. I'm preaching a message I've entitled Blood, Sweat, and Tears. It has to do with making yourself, giving your will over to God. And people can tell me how easy that is. I haven't seen it to be easy, not in my life or anybody else's. To stay in the will of God, to stay the course, it's not easy. It's just right. So looking in John chapter 7 and verse 17, the Word of God says this, anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teaching is from God or merely my own. And basically is this what it means. You want to be in the will of God? And I'm talking about this. There's the knowledge of the Word and doing the Word and knowing that's the will of God. But what we want, what I want personal direction from God. And this and many other verses help me to understand this here. If I want to be in the will of God, and if I want God to direct me, I have to be in the Word of God. I have to be not just a hearer of the Word of God, but a doer also, as it says in James chapter 1. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. It does you no good to just hear the Lord, his word, a good message, or read the Bible unless you make yourself do the Word of God and surrender your will to God. Nevertheless, the most famous prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Somebody help me with that. Pardon? Say it. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. On earth. If that's on earth, that's in here, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And a lot of times that's not talking about another sandwich from McDonald's. It's talking about your daily word, the living manna that falls down from heaven. I want a fresh word every day. And what I have to do is pay the price to get that. You know, everything comes with a price. If anybody wants to have my Father take a personal interest in them, let them be doers of the word of God and not hearers only. The best form of teaching is repetition. That's why I repeat things so often. Help me remember and to help you remember. And you know what we have to do? Jesus told Peter after the resurrection, come and follow me. And John the Beloved was kind of back, but following Jesus also. And Peter turned and looked at John and said, Lord, what about John? What about him? And he said, really, you know, that's really none of your business. If I want him to live until I return to earth, what's that to you? You do what I said. I said, follow me. Now, that's matter of fact. That's curt and that's short, but we don't have time. You know, I didn't have time to write you a poem. I need to give you the word of God and give you the truth. Here's what he said. If I want to, I can cause John the Beloved to live until I come back. And Jesus still hasn't come back yet. But can I tell you something? Enoch, way before John the Baptist, was raptured out of this life. And he's alive in heaven. Also, the prophet Elijah in the book of Kings, he was raptured out of here. He was taken by chariots of fire out of this life. And he's waiting. What's he waiting for? He's waiting for Hebrews 9, where it says, it is appointed unto every man once to die. Every person, including Jesus himself. Those two men, according to the book of Revelation, chapter 11, are going to return to this earth. They're going to be in Jerusalem. They're going to begin to speak judgment and repentance on this world. And anybody that opposes them, the word of God says fire comes from the sky and consumes them. And there's a great fear. And they kill those men. They kill Enoch, the two olive branches, and Elijah. They kill them. And they send gifts to one another, and they leave their bodies on the street. They don't even pick their bodies up. And the whole world sees that. Now, 100 years ago, we couldn't figure out how the whole world could see that. But the whole world can see that by television every day, the whole world. Everything. Everybody watches, and 3.5 days later, 3.5 days later. That 3.5 is representative of 3.5 years of something to do with the tribulation period. Well, what is it? I don't know. I could tell you something, but that's not important to me. What's important to me is they raise up and they're raptured out of here. They're taken out of here. Read it for yourself in the book of Revelation, chapter 11. Blood, sweat, and tears. You want God's best? He wants your best. He wants your best. He doesn't want your leftovers. He wants your best. He wants you to put him first. He showed that in all of the prophets of the Old Testament and all of the men of the New Testament. When we see Elijah telling the widow that had nothing, nothing, he said, before you feed you and your son your last meal, feed me. And she did. And throughout the rest of that drought and famine, the jar that held her meal and the jar that held her oil, it never ran out through the whole thing. Does God do supernatural things? He sure does. I've seen him do it. I've seen him do things that are unexplainable. Sometimes I question myself and I wonder, well, was I just dreaming or did that really happen? I recently, 5 years ago, during the 4th of July, I told somebody, your husband is in the process of killing himself right now. Well, how did you know that? I don't know. It's a miracle. It's a prophetic miracle. All I know is the Lord said, you better call him pretty quick. He's about to tighten the noose, and I called him, and he began to scream. How did you know? How did you know? And you know what? That day changed his life. His marriage was on the rocks. Things were terrible. He still writes me and tells me, thank you for saving my life. Do you want to walk in the Spirit? What if the next 10 prayers that you prayed came to pass? What if the next people that you joined yourself to, yoked yourself with, were people that you should have yoked yourself with? Is it possible? It's entirely possible. Entirely possible. If you're willing to pay the price. God wants people that want him. The word says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways. Everybody say all of your ways. See, I work at that. Sometimes I do better with all of your ways than other times I don't do as good. I've been working at not just holding my peace and not speaking things, just holding my peace. Started in my house and everywhere else. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, what a wild thing. This fellow's about to kill himself, and I want you to call him. Well, what if I thought, well, it can't hurt. I'll just call him. I won't tell him what I feel like God told me. But he told me, how in the world did you know? And he was screaming. And that day marked a change in his life, in his marriage, in his career that is still reaping benefits today. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. What if every day God directed your paths? There's people that die all the time. Right down the road from us was a young man just a few days ago. I thought he was kin to you, but I found out he wasn't. He was on his motorcycle, hit a cow, and died. I say this all the time. People woke up this morning. They left their house. They took things nonchalantly. They did not present themselves to the Lord. And they just went on like they're going to be home tonight. And many of them all over the world, they're on a slab in a morgue somewhere right now. And you can die before your time. It's not my message tonight, but I can sure make a doctrine out of that pretty easy. You can die before your time. The word also says God will add years to your life at times. Paul McElhaney was about 94 years old when he died. I think the word says 70 years is promised a man. These are the words of Moses. And a strong man, 80. Well, Paul McElhaney lived to be 94 years old. I tell people I never really know who's with me until we get in a good fight or two. See if you're still there. Well, one day me and Paul, we got in a little disagreement. And God got his attention. Because I wasn't wrong. And God would definitely get my attention if I was wrong. And he came back. We never had a problem again. And I saw God add year after year after year to that man's life. I want to outlive all of my enemies. And I've already outlived many people much younger than me. And part of the reason I'm sorry. Sometimes you just need to hear the truth that's backed up in the word. There were people that just didn't live close to God. We know this here. You can be full of good works. You can give money. But unless you know God, you're in trouble when you breathe your last breath. You're in trouble. Now, wait a minute, God. Don't you remember that blah, blah I did? I served in the church. I did this. I did that. And he said, yeah, there's one big, big problem. I don't know who you are. See, people, we ask people, do you know the Lord? I got a better question than that. Does the Lord know you? Does the Lord know you? Does he know you by name? I make it a point every day to do the best I can. And I fail so miserably, I'm glad that one of my Savior's jobs is to forgive me and to be patient with me. And let me tell you something. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to make an altar where you are or to come to this altar and be honest with God. It's a time to examine your heart. If there's sin there, sin, the kind that you did it and you knew it, I'm asking you in just a few minutes to ask him to forgive you. There's power in communion if you take it right, and he will forgive you. Have mercy on me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me to turn my will over to you. I wouldn't ask for a show of hands. All I can tell you is I've been in this for a long time. Everybody I've ever met, that's a daily effort to give your will to God, to do what God wants you to do. If you would please turn with me to Psalm 143 and verse 10. 143 and Psalm 143 and 10. I don't have my King James Bible up here. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Teach me. Lord, I'm asking you to do this. If I go and study the word and find out what your will is, please help me to do your will. God will help you. I don't think anything happens by accident, whether it's good or bad. I think we go through things, some of the things that we go through are to bring us closer to him or bring us to do his will. And people have a hard time with that. And I'm only looking at church people. I'm not even considering the person that has spit on the cross so far, realizing there's just one little blessing or one little catastrophe from that cross. I'm a fisher of men. He that winneth souls is wise. I went and let him nibble. Boy, I fished several times during the day. I didn't think my thing was rigged up, and all I had, there was just in my pond, just a little bitty old fish. And at the end of the day, right when I was about to pull it in, I get a nibble, and I just watched that bobber go back and forth, back and forth. I thought, well, the hook is too big. Surely one of them little fingerling catfish can't be under. But I just watch it go down a time or two. And then I felt on it. I pulled it in a little bit. And I let the bobber come up again. It was going again. And I began to think, you know, I think there's a fish on there. And then I slowly reeled it in. I got a new pole, Carson Paul, that we're going to use for you to catch fish. It's real good. And I thought, well, that hook was a little too big for such a small fish. But no way. That fish was on there. Got my leather gloves. And actually, he swallowed that whole hook that I thought was too big for that little fish. He swallowed the whole hook. And I had my leather gloves on. And if you've ever picked up a catfish, they will sting you with their little spikes. And you'll wish you hadn't messed up. But I pulled that out and threw them in the water. It was the end of the day. There wasn't time for another cast. It was after we mowed. And I learned something. I learned something. I'm learning to trust God. Every Wednesday I said, God help me. I've got to drive this 18-foot trailer. And I have to drive it in such a way that I don't dump. I thought last week giving us a 6-foot pallet of bananas was one thing. Today there was 2 6-foot pallets. God, help me to back up. Help me to back up right. Help me, Lord. Where do I park this? It's so long and so big. It's so wet out there. Where do I park this? Show me, Father. Help me. I need you. I need you every day. Everybody in here say, Heavenly Father, I need you. See, that's the truth. You know, it's against our nature. Men are the world's worst. They'll be lost somewhere. This is a statistic. And they'll keep being lost. They won't stop anywhere. I've never been like that. I'll stop so quick. Have you ever seen me be like that? Man, I'll ask somebody. I remember I was in Tucumcari. I was heading to Tucumcari, New Mexico. And I stopped at a gas station. And it was a Native American. He was the guy there. And I said, look, I'm looking for Tucaluchi, New Mexico. How much farther? This is 1982. Tucaroni, Tucaluchi, what? He says, what are you asking me for? I'm asking how far that is away. He said, it's not Tucaluchi. And it's not Tucaroni. It's Tucumcari. I said, well, okay. He said, say it. Tucumcari. Oh, it's about so-and-so miles. I was insulting him and didn't realize I was doing that. But you learn in life if you give life a chance. And one thing you don't want to leave without Jesus Christ. You do not want to, and you're not, let me just tell you something now. You're not going to heaven because you attend church. You either know God and he knows you, or you don't know God and he doesn't know you. That is a serious mistake to make in this life. Jesus Christ, don't leave earth without him. I can tell you that. You agree with that? Amen. I really agree with that. I really believe that. I believe that to the point of a reverence called fear in the King James translation. I fear God. You know why? I've given him permission this morning to take my life today, if that's what suits him best, and to correct me today. I've asked for his direction, and I've asked for his help multiple times today. I've worked for it. If I was real honest, I'd tell you all my sins and shortcomings. We had a service like that many years ago when we were on the square. It was called a Confess Your Fault service, as found in the book of James chapter 5. Confess your faults one to another and pray you one for another that you can be healed. I just said we're going to have a Confess Your Fault service. I've never done that, never done it since. I heard things I know for sure people shouldn't have said in that. I'm committing adultery. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I don't know what made people tell some of the stuff. I stole. And I tried to make that service as short as possible, but people wanted to get that off their chest. I'm going to tell you something. I've never had a service like that, but I'm wanting you to have one in just a moment. In just a moment, when we get on our knees, if you can, reverence God and get on your knees. Be honest with God. The word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let a person examine themselves and then let them eat the bread and drink the cup. 1 John 1:9, it's worth remembering. If I confess my sins, God is faithful and he has a legal right to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me. Deliverance from evil begins with confession. If you've got something that you know shouldn't be in your life, well, what if I have to confess it next week and next week, and I'd keep confessing it? I'd keep trusting God. I'd say, have mercy on me, Lord. You know, one thing that'll happen is you'll learn how to have mercy on others. And there's some times I wish I could go back in time and not be so hard on people. But on the other hand, I always did what I thought I was, you know, the jury's out. You know, people, they don't want any type of correction today. The Bible says don't correct a fool because he'll hate you. Correct a wise person and they'll love you for it. So I'm looking for wise people. I'm not finding a whole bunch of them. But the last place tonight is Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. In the New Living Translation, Matthew 12, beginning at verse 46, blood, sweat, and tears. I don't feel like I was harsh with you. I think I was matter of fact with you and told you the truth as I understand the Holy Scriptures. And the heading in my Bible, this particular Bible, says, the true family of Jesus. Let me tell you something. You don't want to be a neighbor. You want to be kin to Jesus Christ. You want to be kin by his blood, by his life on earth. As Jesus was speaking to the crowd, this is right after a healing, if I'm not mistaken, his mother and brothers stood outside asking to speak with him. Someone told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they would like to speak to you. And Jesus uses this point right here, the greatest teacher that ever lived. Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? Who are you talking about? Then he pointed to his disciples and said, look, these are my mother and my brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and my mother. Nevertheless, this cup is terrible, my Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, just a few hours, they came to him and he said, who do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, that's me. And they all fell down. They were all slain in the spirit. Just the mention of his name is power. In the world of the spirit that we can't see well, where a lot of your children's problems are and your problems are, see, there's a spirit. There are spirits that hope. What about the kid? He had a epileptic spirit in the book of Matthew. And Jesus said, how long has this been on him? Because the man told Jesus, oftentimes this spirit tries to throw him into the fire or throw him into the water to kill him. He said, really? How long has this spirit been on him? He said, since he was a child. I saw my first demons at 3 years old. I can remember. I prayed to the devil at times when I was a rock musician. I did a lot of things. Some of them I didn't even want to do, but I just did them so I didn't stand out in the crowd. But it started when I was a child. I could see demons. I could see them. And that's just the truth. I knew there was a devil, like the song by Blood, Sweat, and Tears. I know there ain't no heaven, and I pray there ain't no hell. Let me tell you something. There's a heaven and a hell. And I'm going to ask you right now, there's no newcomers in here, to make an altar where you are and just examine your heart. I don't believe in scaring people, but I believe in telling people the truth. Examine your heart, because if there's something that shouldn't be there, just confess it to the Lord. He loves you. Help us, God, in Jesus' name.